You're listening to New Age Hipster Radio, home of spiritual rambles and high-vibe convos. Always dogma-free and a totally cool place to be. You can head to newagehipster.co for more spiritual awesome sauce, but for now, here's your host, Bix. Hey, gorgeous souls, and welcome to another episode of the New Age Hipster Radio podcast. I'm so excited today. We have someone super famous on the podcast. We have Ali Skiver. Ali's recent debut on The Voice Australia has sent ripples of healing vibrations across the globe. As a pioneer in bringing sound healing to the mainstream, Ali is incredibly passionate about sharing her medicine with the world. Ali holds retreats and workshops globally. She also offers one-on-one mentorship to support her fellow lightworkers in stepping into their soul-aligned business. Based out of Sydney, she provides transformative experiences for individuals and teams to raise their vibration and tap into their highest potential. Using a unique combination of breathwork, sound healing, meditation, and voice activation, Ali helps people reconnect with their innate self-healing abilities to alleviate anxiety and depression, prevent burnout, and boost mental performance. Oh my goodness, that sounds amazing. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you so much for having me. It is such a pleasure to be here with you.
I'm so excited about this. So for people who, I think some people will have seen that I shared about you on my stories on Instagram when we were at the Broken Hill spiritual festival. That's where I first saw you, and as soon as I heard you sing, I was like, what is that? Where is that coming from? Like, what is happening? And then I watched you perform, and it was just like, wow, this is so cool. And then I spoke with you a little bit too, and I was just like, oh, I just love this person's energy. Like, this is unreal. And then I stalked you on Instagram and saw that you were like famous and you'd been on TV and like all of this other stuff was happening. So I was like, we have to get her on the podcast.
Yes,
we have to.
Yes.
We have to. It's amazing what you're doing. So I'm going to hand it over to you, would you please just share with the listeners and those who are watching on YouTube as well, a little bit about yourself and your origin story. Like, how did you get into sound healing? How did you kind of find your purpose and all of that good stuff that we all love to hear about?
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think as any good story goes, it started with a very dark night of soul. So my journey, you know, really started when I was in San Francisco. I was working my dream job, you know, living the dream life, working in tech, making great money. I had just graduated with a degree in electrical engineering because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. And I found myself at this, you know, place in my life where I thought I should be happy, but I was actually miserable. And I was anxious, I was depressed, I was binge eating, drinking, smoking. I was really numbing myself from, I didn't really know what at the time, I just knew I didn't feel right. And then it didn't take long after a massive heartbreak to catapult me into yoga and meditation, because I really had no, I'd done yoga on and off as a kid, but never really fully understood, you know, the teachings and the philosophy behind it. And I was at a place in my life where I just needed to, I needed to make a change, because I knew it was not sustainable the way I was going. And I think, you know, just to go slightly off tangent, you know, growing up, I looked at my father, you know, as the epitome of success, you know, stoic software engineer. And I thought, okay, that's what success is. Strong, stoic, don't show your emotions, calculate, strategize. And I looked at my mom and sister as, you know, very intuitive, sensitive, emotional creatures of the moon. And I looked at that as a risk to my success. I looked at that as dangerous. I looked at feeling my feelings as not an efficient use of time. And so I was like, right, we're going the engineering route. I like Legos. That's what's up. I was good at math. That's what's up. I was like, no brainer, right? And then I find myself in this career feeling like an absolute fake, because I could care less about electrical engineering. But I was really good at nerd herding, which is a fancy term for program management. So I was wrangling all the engineers into different rooms and leveraging my communication abilities, which felt good. But I just felt like there was something massive missing. And so once I threw myself into yoga and started to dive into the practices of asana, movement and pranayama, of working with our breath and meditation and the devotional, self-study practices that we really dive into when we're sort of desperate looking for healings, healing from the universe and answers. So it wasn't long into my yoga teacher training that I just casually Googled yoga jobs abroad. And turns out there's this whole world of opportunities for people to go teach in exchange for room and board. So Panama, Costa Rica, Colombia, all around the world, you could do that. And so immediately in my mind, I'm like, right, okay. Created this little checklist of Allie goes around the world, quit corporate. All right, first thing we're going to do is we're going to sell everything. We're going to, handle this stuff, life admin stuff. And within less than a year, I had plotted my escape from my life in the city, my safe life in the city, and set off on a one-way ticket to Panama to work on a boat in the Caribbean teaching yoga, YOLO. So that happened. And it was really, I didn't have much of a plan other than, I'm gonna go one country at a time. I'd saved some decent money from my corporate job to say, all right, I'll take a year and maybe I'll go around the world and come back. And that all changed when I realized that I didn't really have a flat to go back to in San Francisco. And I thought, okay, well, we're just gonna travel and we're just going to see where the life takes us. So as I said, I was very much so, while I was in the practices of yoga and I was teaching, I was still seeking answers and I felt quite lost. So I was on this mission when I went traveling looking for answers from every guru, every shaman, every healer I could find. So within a year and a half, I ended up traveling 16 countries and five continents. I tried everything from ayahuasca in Peru to many questionable treatments in India to very questionable treatments to meditating 10 hours a day, 10 days straight in Sri Lanka, Vipassana. I volunteered at an orphanage. I tried so many different things, and it felt like the more I was sort of outsourcing my healing, the further and further away I got from my own sort of piece of, and then I found breath work, and then through that I found sound healing, and I stayed at a music ashram in India for 2 months and started studying with the Himalayan singing bowls. And as I started diving into my own practice through breath work, through conscious, continuous cyclic breathing, I started to release a lot of the anxiety. And through this breath work practice, I found a peace, a state of peace that I hadn't really tapped into. It was like when you realize that you've actually been operating in fight or flight for a decade, and you finally get that taste of downregulated nervous system, and you're like, oh, everything is going to be okay, and the world isn't falling apart, and I'm not dying. And I did think for a while, I was like, I think I'm dying. If someone could just corroborate this story, and I could get on with my bit, because I didn't bleed for a year and a half. I was just in this very, when you're living out of a backpack, it looks so glamorous on Instagram. But it really, having the freedom to travel, it made me so much more ungrounded. And so through the travels and through the practices, I started sampling all these different modalities and treatments, and from kinesiology to water fasts to the plant medicine realms to service, all the different things, and found that I could access these states of peace through just using my breath and through toning, through singing, and getting sort of hypnotized in the sound of a crystal bowl or a Tibetan bowl, and letting myself just get out of here and really drop embodied. And I think I hadn't really fully understood what even being embodied meant until I was able to quiet the mind. So it's been quite a journey of trying and sampling and seeking and, you know, this soul quest that I went through, which ended up, I was in Bali with 6 kilos of Himalayan singing bowls, a travel guitar in a backpack, and I was playing the yoga studios, like, what am I doing with my life? Because I wasn't making any money at that point. And I had a friend in Australia, and she said, well, why don't you come stay at my place here in Manly while I go to Europe for a few weeks? You can, you know, just get a feel for it. And so I came here and was just old enough, young enough to get a working holiday visa to enter the country. And within those 3 weeks, I ended up deciding to stay. And that was 4 years ago. And I went back to corporate for a stint to get a visa, to get some money back under my wings. And that allowed me to start to build, to better understand what I'm offering. What is my, you know, what is my offering, and what medicine do I feel I have to share with the world? And so I was able to really get clear on that with the safety of, you know, rent, and community, and just feeling stable and grounded. But, yeah, it was really, really important to unpack the backpack and take the bowls out and put them, you know, somewhere on a shelf, but also like have the ability to play with them but not feel like I have to. And yeah, it's just sort of morphed over the last few years where I started offering private sessions and workshops and then retreats and then allowing, you know, my own journey through vocal activation to share that with clients now. So it's been a really, really wild ride, but it feels like all divinely orchestrated to bring me right here to this moment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so many things I want to say and ask you. And like, you've had such an amazing journey. And I love that you kind of, it was like you kind of had this total switch of like corporate, like doing the logical thing, and then it was just like, no, now I'm going to go the complete opposite way, and I'm going to just go through the world trying to find the answers. It's just like, wow, it's like just it's just so cool. Like, I just think your story is so cool, and I know so many people who feel that same way or have felt that same way that got them on their spiritual path, but not all of us went, like, you know, some of us just went on YouTube. Not everybody went on that amazing journey. I feel like you should write a book. Have you thought about writing a book?
Oh yes. I've been journaling for years. It's all like digital journal with table of contents.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Story's not over.
Yeah. It's coming.
Eventually. Yeah, but I mean, to your point though, I feel like I needed a drastic, like dramatic change. And yeah, it was kind of like, I don't care where this takes me, but I'm going to give it my all and trust the universe will support me however that looks like. And you know, sometimes you jump and the net doesn't catch you and you break into a million pieces, but sometimes that's necessary.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions too. Like, do you feel like you were, and that you still are, obviously, because you're still very much on this journey, as we all are. But did you have a sense that you were really being guided? Like, did you feel like something was kind of go here, apply for this job, do this next?
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly, when I set off, you know, when I had planned, all right, I'm leaving for Panama and this is the day I booked the ticket, like, well, I thought I was supposed to be all excited and jazzed. I was like, I was a big ball of fear. I was like struggling to get out of bed in the morning because I knew it had to be done. And there was also, I think, and what I'm learning now more of just the importance of bringing joy and play back into every moments of life. But I took it so seriously. It was like, no, this is an assignment. I have to do it. And I'm scared. And that's why I'm going to do it. But yeah, I've really, through the years of really tuning back in, or, you know, I guess introducing myself to my feminine essence, because I feel like I had spent my whole life running from the soft, mushy, gooey, intuitive, sensitive creature where I was like, no, I'm a robot, I'm a rock, and everyone can depend on me, and no emotions, useless. So now that I've really done the work to feel and to tune in and to let myself, you know, just burst out crying for no absolute reason and be like, yes, progress. Wow, I'm human. I mean, I had that moment where I was playing guitar and just started bawling, was like, oh my God, this is so cool, I'm feeling. But yeah, it's learning to trust that voice and also learning to discern whether it's a voice of fear or if it's a voice coming from the vibration of love. And I think a lot of my decisions throughout my life were fueled by fear. And it was an incredible motivator, the fear of not being a success. Get the best degree you can to make as much money as possible. The fear of having to depend on a man for financial stability. That was, you know, I witnessed that in my family and I thought, I never want to depend on anybody. And then that sort of imbued this feeling of, right, so never ask for help and never be vulnerable. And I think while that got me into a kick-ass degree, making a great deal of money, I was like, oh, wait, do I actually enjoy any of this? And what's the point of having this fancy apartment in this fancy city when you just don't feel aligned whatsoever? So it took a lot of pain to realize that I was out of alignment and that I wasn't listening because I was using, I mean, I was smoking pot daily from the age of 12. I was binge drinking every weekend till I got sick. And I just thought I was a fun party animal, which turns out I still am, but all in moderation, including moderation. But yeah, I really was running from my intuitive abilities. I feel like I, as a child, was very, very empathetic. I could read the room. I could read, you know, with the blink of an eye, what my mother was going to say or do, my sister. And I think, you know, we develop these qualities as a survival mechanism to be in tune to what's going on around us. And then I think just becoming so sensitive to the energy and the needs of others, I was like, right, that's too hard. Let's turn that off. So I definitely turned that off and I used a great deal of substances to do that. And of course, looking back now, it's no wonder I was such a mess because I was pretty much hungover every day. You know, I was drinking, working in corporate. I was working crazy hours and then getting home just being like, right, I just want to light up a joint, drink some wine and stare at the walls. And guess what? We're going to do it all over tomorrow and it's going to be harder because you're hungover and probably still stoned. So it took me, I don't know how long to realize, oh, clean body, clean mind. Like we need to look after this vessel. So for me, the most important thing I've been doing, you know, it's like, yes, meditation is crucial. Yes, breath work. Yes, you know, movement and singing. But you got to make sure your vessel is clean because there's no amount of breath work, plant medicine, meditation you can do if you're eating crap and drinking a bunch of alcohol or doing a bunch of drugs because your vessel is just going to be clouded. And I've learned just how important or how, you know, critical, like what we eat, the foods, how much we eat, you know, will completely change the vibration. And as a result, what thoughts come into our, you know, into our field. And yeah, it's been such an interesting journey to, you know, we are the scientists and the experiment of our lives. And I've done a lot of experiments, a lot of failed ones. And that's the beauty of it. And some of them have been successful, which has been beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love that you touched on that, because I think we don't talk about that enough in the spiritual circles. I feel like there's so often, oh, this meditation will change your life, or this, you know, doing this breath work will change your life, or just visualizing violet flame will change your life. And all of that stuff can definitely help. Like it's all part of it. But I also very much have noticed that since I kind of got on my path, like really seriously about like 10, coming up to maybe 12 years ago, when I kind of got the nudge to start my spiritual business, I very slowly started to notice that, you know, I didn't want to eat the same stuff. I didn't drink as much. And Like, I couldn't even tell you now when, like, the last time I had alcohol. I think I've had like two drinks in this whole year, which is not a judgment on any, you know, it's definitely not a judgment on anybody else because everyone's got their own, you know, their own way that they kind of, you know, move through the world and what they want to do. But I just, you know, like you, I used to be the party girl. Like, I used to go out. I think it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday nights were like out. Like, those nights were like out drinking, and the rest of the time was like, I'll stay home, maybe
Recovering.
have a drink at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I
Interesting how it
mean,
changes.
yeah, and I do find particularly Australia, you know, it's a big drinking culture, and you know, there's nothing wrong with indulging and enjoying, but I'm one of those people that, like, I'm not very good at moderating. Like, if there's wine, we're gonna have a good time, but I'll probably opt out for most of those, or just say tonight I'm not gonna drink, because I love to have fun and love to let loose, but I do know it totally destroys my vibration for the coming days. I've got anxiety, and then I'm drawn to foods and things that aren't healthy, and so it's been just reminding myself of those practices. And while I've gone on this journey and I've come through and now, you know, fully in my, you know, soul aligned business, it doesn't mean that I don't have those days where I just wake up, you know, dreading, you know, what is to come. And I've started to look at, like, okay, well, why is that happening? You've got this going on. This is great. This is great. It's like, yeah, well, you had a lot of chocolate yesterday. Or like, yeah, well, you didn't get good sleep, or there was, you know, there was a lot of gluten in the food, or whatever it is. And I'm like, wow, it is hand in hand. I'm just so sensitive to those things, and it's unfortunate because, you know, I love to indulge in good food and wine, but I've just learned that, like, you know, more often than not, I'm going to abstain because that's a lot easier for me to do than to moderate.
I feel the same. A couple of nights in a row, I was like not sleeping very well, and I said to my husband, you know, like, what did we do? Did we do anything differently? And he was like, oh, I think that massive banana split with the vegan ice cream and the chocolate sauce before bed for the last few nights maybe wasn't a good idea. I was like, oh yeah, okay. Maybe if we're gonna have like a massive bowl of ice cream, do it in the middle of the day instead of like right before bed.
I
Like,
mean,
hello.
yeah, well, and even noticing with the practices that I do, like whether I'm about to do my own breathwork journey, I don't get, I'll do the same exact journey, whether it's my own guidance, recorded 30 minutes or someone else's. I'll do that, and it's a world of a difference the next, you know, depending on how clean I was the day before or the week before. And if I have been clean and if I have been healthy, I'm so much more coherent in my ability to feel my feelings, to release them, you know. But if I've been a bit groggy and I haven't really been taking good care of myself, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, that was nice. I got a little tired, felt relaxed, but like I'm not able to really tap into the good, deep, juicy, you know, cathartic releases. And yeah, I just find even singing for me, it is so different. If I'm feeling good, if I'm feeling clean, if I'm feeling like I'm not overindulging on any of the number of things that one could possibly overindulge in. It just comes so much easier. And, you know, as you've seen, I often refer to it as song channeling, where I just let songs move through and to come through. And I really struggle to do that if I have been not taking care of my body, and things will still come through, but there'll be too much mind stuff going on where it doesn't really let me drop in. So yeah, I think you're right. It does go, sort of off the side in a lot of these conversations where it is like, yeah, just do the work, do the meditation, sit for 10 days, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, it's so important that we're taking a full holistic view of all the things, including getting good sleep, and also like community. I mean, I'll just take a tangent into the Cancer New Moon. That was was it? Maybe 2 months ago. It was wild. Let's just say I was a mess and I was doing all the things. I was doing breath work. I did a 2-day fast. I was microdosing on mushrooms up in the forest. Like, I was dancing. I was stomping out. I was doing sacred rage. I was doing all the things. And I'm like, why do I still feel like crap? And then I realized you're doing this in a bubble and you haven't talked to any of your friends. You haven't talked to your sisters. You haven't asked anyone for support. You haven't let yourself be seen. Because I was so like, no, I'm here to heal, you know? I was like, all right. So I called up, you know, my girlfriends and was completely honest and came over to their place for tea, cried on their couch and, you know, had those like, I know, but I'm not sure. And it's like, yeah, it's okay. And I felt it was like taking a massive dump that I had been holding on to out of fear, you know, and then realizing again, you could do all the things. You could even eat so healthy or fast or whatever, but you also need to bring in community. You need to bring in your support network, even if it's just calling your mom, you know. Whatever that may be for you is to just allow yourself to connect with others. And that has been, you know, a really important reminder in my world.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that too. There's a lot of people who listen to this podcast who say that it feels like we're just all hanging out, having a chat, which is like really nice. It's like, yes. if you don't have people to talk to who get it, like there's always, you know, listen to a podcast and it's like, hey, you're here with us. Like we're holding you in this space too, you know, which is really,
yes.
Which is really nice. But yeah, like there's all of these different pieces, right, to be thinking about. One thing that I want to mention too, though, for like anyone who's listening, like I know in the past, sometimes when I've been in that place of like, I've eaten too much vegan ice cream, I haven't been sleeping well, like doing all the wrong things. Like the worst thing you can do from that place too is to like go into judgment, right? Like I like to just kind of reflect and go, oh, okay, that's interesting that I chose to do that yesterday. Okay, I'll sit with that and I'll think about that. And maybe I'll do something different next time rather than what I think a lot of people, especially sensitive people, like we can sometimes turn it all in on ourselves and be like, oh, you know, oh, I'm drinking, I'm eating vegan ice cream, whatever your thing is. And then it becomes like a whole extra thing that you now have to kind of work through.
Oh, for sure. It's so much so the stories we tell ourselves about how bad we are, and then we're feeling bad for feeling bad about how bad we feel. And it's just like, I think, who is it, Byron Katie, that talks about, you know, just really analyzing the beliefs that you have about yourself, about your life, and what if we discarded those as actually not true, you know, and course correcting and looking at, you know, the stories we tell ourselves about our lives or ways of being. And that's been one thing that I've just had to remind myself over and over is like, go easy on yourself, Allie. You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. But it's, you know, we're hardwired. It's called the negativity bias. We are more likely to focus on things that are detrimental to our survival than all the amazing things happening. So when you have all these great things in your life, but that one thing isn't going right, or that one person said something, it's like, we are hardwired to focus on that one thing. And so it's just constant course correction of like vibe check. What am I focusing on? You know, all right, that is not useful. Let's go back to all the great things. And, you know, such simple things as like spending time every morning and night and thinking about what you're grateful for and, you know, communing with spirit, whatever you want to call it, you know, talking to the fairies or talking to, you know, whatever your belief system is just having that conversation and asking for things, you know, asking for signs, asking for support, asking for messages. It's so important to have that. And at least for me, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have some sort of faith in a power greater than myself, which I guess one could say it is me and it is you and it's all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we have to ask the big question about you.
All right, let me open the window real
quick. All right, take a short pause. Take a breath, everyone. This is gonna get
getting hot, guys.
Yeah, it's gonna get hot in here. I have to ask you about your experience being on The Voice Australia. How did that happen? How did you get on The Voice? How did you feel about it? How did you channel the divine energy when you were in that environment with like cameras and people and the whole thing? I'd just love to hear a little bit about that.
So I had sent in a video. This was before I even quit my corporate job, but I had recently gotten my permanent residency visa. And I'm like, right, I have 1 year with this visa and then I can leave and really start my business. So it was like, all right, time starts now. All right, how can I have the most amount of impact with the least amount of effort? And I was like, I could pump out reels every day in the hopes of potentially going viral or do something really weird. And I was just like, or I get on TV. How do I get on TV? Oh, let's check this out. I'm like, okay. And I overheard a friend talking about her ex-partner was on The Voice. I was like, The Voice? He was on The Voice? I'm going to get on The Voice. And so I sent a video of me singing and playing the guitar. I was singing Spirit Bird, Xavier Rudd, just such a beautiful song. And didn't hear anything back for a long time, but you know, they've got hundreds of thousands of videos that they get. So it took them a while, but I eventually heard back from them. And it didn't hurt that my friend used to work as a producer on the show. And I told her that I submitted and she's like, you submitted? You didn't hear anything? I was like, no, I didn't hear anything. She's like, well, I know the producer. So I'll just tell him to, you know, take a look at your audition tape. So I went there and I rocked up with my guitar and my medicine drum and I, you know, told them to close their eyes, to take a deep breath into their heart. I brought essential oils and rose water and sprayed it in their faces and had them really just breathe into their hearts. And I started tuning into the beat of the drum, a medicine drum that I made. So it was very special. It still is very special to me. And I just let whatever sounds wanted to come through and I couldn't recreate it, couldn't tell you what it was, but I invited them to open their eyes and they looked at each other and they're like, I have never heard anybody use their voice like that before. And they seemed to like it. It seemed to be a positive reaction. And then I sang on the guitar, I sang Zombie, Cranberries, I sang Hurt Johnny Cash, Jolene, I sang all the, you know, the stuff that would be socially acceptable on a mainstream television show. And, they, you know, don't tell you much at the first audition or like with the producers and they're like, okay, great. Thanks. That's cool. And I'm like, okay, well, I think I weirded them out. And then I heard back and they said, all right, Allie, we really love what you did. Can you come back and can you bring your crystal bowls? We want to see you with those crystal bowls. And I was like, yes, they want to see me. They want to see the real me. Mm-hmm. And well, don't get me wrong. I love singing songs on the guitar. But when I feel like I can channel song with the bowls, it just feels like just so true and so in the moment, authentic. So round two with the producers, I get up there and I brought every bowl I had. I've got seven crystal bowls, seven Tibetan bowls. I brought my flute. I brought my chimes. I brought sage and Palo Santo and more flower water and essential oils. And this time there's like 10 producers in the room. And of course, I went around, put oils on their wrists, sprayed rose water in their faces, and again, had them breathe into their hearts. And well, one of the producers, before I did that, she says, oh, I've never had a sound healing, but my stomach hurts. And I was like, we're going to use the E-bowl. The E-bowl is for the solar plexus chakra. And because they had no idea, many people don't realize that different energy centers in the body correspond to different frequencies. And so having 14 bowls at my disposal, I'm like, well, I can't really play these all at once. Somehow I'll figure out which bowl to use. And so when she said she had a tummy ache, I immediately grabbed the E-bowl, took it to the microphone, played it, and again, just let whatever come through, producer's eyes closed. They seemed to be quite enchanted by the experience. And then of course, I then got the guitar, then sang some Hallelujah, Jeff Buckley, some other beautiful classic songs that I love to sing. And then they had this moment where they're like, I reckon we make an exception. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, what's this exception? And they're like, well, we had a Mongolian throat singer one year who just, you know, obviously didn't sing a normal song. I reckon you get up there with the bowls. And I was like, yes. But they're like, but we can't really confirm or deny if you'll be on the show, you know, kind of thing. I was like, right, but you just, okay, sure. And then it took a while for them to be like, right, okay, we're going to have you on the show. So yeah, and then they filmed backstory. They really were loving the whole corporate executive turns sound healer. And apparently they liked some of the stuff I had on my socials of me like dancing on a rock somewhere. And they're like, right, so for your backstory, we want to film you dancing on a rock by the beach. And we want your bowls. We're going to do some drone footage. And then we're going to have you in a suit at Piermont Bridge, you know, standing there. So basically, you know, me with this deadpan look, you know, on a bridge, having this moment of like, that moment I knew my corporate life was over. And flash forward to that scene of me at the beach dancing, playing my instruments. So they were really eating that right up. And I think there's a lot of people that resonate with that story of like, yeah, that's me on the bridge hating my job. And I would love to be on that rock dancing free. And so there that was. And then next thing you know, I get on the show and for the official blind auditions. And I was pretty convinced that, you know, I wasn't nervous. I was like, I'm fine. I'm not nervous whatsoever. And I had convinced myself that, no, I got this. I do this all the time. I do these workshops. But then when they start miking me up and somebody else is like carrying my bowls to the stage, I'm like, oh, don't hurt my bowls. Are you going to put them in the right place? In the right, like, oh my God, make sure the Koshi chime isn't upside down. You know, like all these little things. And I was like, boodoo, boodoo, and my heart starts racing. But, you know, get out there, do my thing, took some deep breaths. And I knew that no matter what happened, it was meant to be. So, I was told I had 90 seconds-ish and I had no watch or clock to refer to, but I was going through some with my internal timing. And there was a part of me as I noticed that none of the chairs were turning that I was like, aw. Is this not any good right now? You know, when I've got my girls like looking back and forth from the stage to the chairs, the stage to the chairs, and I'm just like, right, stay in body. But I was like, but I also want to connect with the camera, but stay in body, but connect. And so there was a little mind stuff going on. But you know, I finished with the chime and they all turned around and I knew it was exactly as it needed to be because I didn't really want a contract. I didn't really want to be controlled, you know, because had I had progressed, they would have had rights to my hair, my makeup, my wardrobe, rights to my originals, like so much control that I think they knew I wouldn't have been on board with because I made it very clear day one of the audition with the producers, like, so I'm not looking to be commercialized. I'm not looking to be, you know, fit inside a box. I don't even know who the celebrity coaches are. I don't watch TV. I'm just here to share my medicine with the world. And they're like, wait, you don't even know who the coaches are? I was like, nah. They're like, Rita Ora. I was like, Rita who? I'm like, Sebastian who? Guy Sebastian. Okay. And who's Jessica Malbo? And I had no idea who these people were until later they said Jason Derulo was coming. And I was like, I recognize that just because you hear that Jason Derulo. And then that was about it that I knew about him. So yeah, after I shared my song on the stage and they eventually turned around, you know, Guy Sebastian comes up onto the stage and then the rest of the coaches follow him because he wanted to check out the bowls. Rita Ora then lays on the stage in front of the bowls because she was like, oh, it totally changes your whole body. Oh, and she just loved it. But they were maybe all too blissed out to turn a chair. But so they came on stage and Guy Sebastian, this was later clipped out, but he was like, it's so much more than a chair turn for you. And I said, yeah, like I'm here to raise the vibration of humanity. And Yeah, and even Rita Ora gave a little plug about mental health, which I think that was also clipped out, but it was really it felt like a really special moment and something that had never been done in the history of the show, and bringing something different for a very different purpose. I feel like what the world needs now, sure, a little entertainment, good, we love that, we love to laugh, we love to be entertained, but the world needs to feel good. We need to feel connected. We need to be reminded of something much greater than this, the trivial day-to-day mundane, hamster wheel cycles. Like we need to be connected to our spiritual essence. And I think a lot of people don't even know where that begins or what that even is. And just seeing the responses from people, because I took one of their reels they put on TikTok, put it on my Instagram page. Next thing you know, 1.2 million views later, I was like, oh wow, oh shit, people are digging it. And I was like, kind of bracing myself for all the trolls that were going to potentially come and be like, you're awful, evil person. I don't even know. But it was actually nothing but beautiful comments and the occasional, yeah, this isn't for The Voice, she should go on AGT or whatever. But other than that, it was just like, to see how my short, less than 3 minute sort of debut really touched people on a way that, in a way that was so much more than, there was no words, there was no language barrier. It was just pure sound. And people telling me how they started crying listening to it over Instagram, or they felt tingles in their body or sensations they didn't even know. And I feel it's really important to bring awareness to the power of sound, the power of, frequency healing, because we're only just starting to unearth and to share the science, but this is ancient wisdom, sound being used for so many different purposes, from moving, physical matter to, completely shifting stagnant energy in the body. There's just so much magic that we really haven't, I think, widely accepted, that I feel that people are ready for it. And the fact that the voice producers were open to me doing that on the show tells me that consciousness is ready. We are ready to step into a higher vibration. We are ready to awaken to our highest vibration and true potential. And so it felt like such an honor to be able to do that, and to as my friend said, you're a great representative for the hippie, for our hippie folks, or something like that. Because I can speak geek, I can speak science, and I can also speak a little mysticism into it. And I think a lot of people need to hear some of the science behind the work that I do, whether we're talking about, nervous system regulation, or we're talking about quantum physics, because we are all vibrational beings. The foods we eat, the thoughts we have, the feelings we experience, you, me, we're just a big collection of waves vibrating at different frequencies. And so when you can paint that picture in the minds of others and actually share that, no, this has been proven. Like, this isn't just some woo-woo shit. This is legit quantum physics that we are pretty much operating in a holographic projection. And when you start to see that you have way more power than you think in your reality, it's something you can't unsee. And so yeah, I think going back to my original intention with The Voice was not only, how can I get the most exposure, but how can I get my medicine out to the world? Because I feel so many people are struggling, so many people are hurting, and so many people are dealing with what I dealt with in San Francisco and still dabble with from time to time. It's that existential dread of that feeling of being lost, feeling anxious, feeling depressed, feeling like you don't know where to turn or what to do. And having found light at my very dark tunnel, at the end of my very dark tunnel, it's been almost like I have an ability and a responsibility to share it with as many people as I can, because I mean, it's really what we're here for, is to support each other and to, make the world a better place.
Yeah, amen. Big amen to all of that. Oh
You.
my gosh. Yeah. I just loved when I went onto your Instagram, and I didn't know that you'd been on The Voice. I was like, oh, She's that great, like, singer that was at the festival, and she was like channeling all this amazing, like these amazing sounds and everything. It was amazing. And then I was like, oh, 1 million views on your on your reel. I was like, okay, she's a big deal. Not that I didn't think you were a big deal anyway, because obviously you were, but you know, it was like, wow, okay, this is so cool. And I love that you were just like, how can I reach as many people as possible? I'm gonna go on TV. And then you made it happen. And the universe helped you make it happen.
Absolutely. I feel like with you, if you can see it with your mind's eye, if you can feel it, if you can tune into that frequency, the universe has no choice but to bring it to you so long as you stay in belief. Because, I mean, so many opportunities for me to weave fear into my plans, and self-doubt and judgment and who am I and I'm no good and oh, I'm not this or I'm not that, and you know, that comparison syndrome. And it just completely dampens the vibe, the frequency, and then you become a match to that vibration of lack and unworthiness and fear. And so it's been a lot of, really building myself up and, you know, having those chats in the mirror with like, no, you are worthy and you are great and I love you, you know. And you got to do it. It's, you know, Louise Hay talks so much about mirror work and loving oneself, because it's where the work begins. And this has been such a massive initiation just through this journey of really stepping into my work full time and letting go of a lot of the old stories of starving artist and don't do what you love for a living because you won't like it, or you know, all those things. And coming face to face with, you know, my own shadows that I was like, oh, I thought I faced that one. Nope, it's back. All right. How do we bring, you know, love and compassion back into this space and really take care of ourselves like a little baby in our own arms? And that involves, you know, making sure it's getting sunshine and, you know, some movement and some good food and just the basics. So yeah, it's been incredibly humbling and exciting. But also, you know, it was a bit much right after the show aired, and I was getting hundreds of messages, and I'm that kind of like type A person that needs to respond to everything, otherwise there's leaky energy and I just can't handle it. And I mean, some of the messages were like, my wife and son are in palliative care and we want to come see you tomorrow. She was able to eat her dinner while she watched you, and like, can we make it happen? I'm like, if I don't respond to messages like these, and like people are, so there was a part of me that's like, I got a lot of work to do and I got a lot of messages to respond to. And then you're getting this like crazy dopamine hit where it's like, wow, people like you. Oh my God. And it's like, ooh, this is feeling a bit funny. This is a bit strange. All right, sit with it, breathe with it. And I was like, okay, celebrate it. And then my way of celebrating is like, right, we're gonna go out with the girls and have a bunch of wine. And then I'm like, oh, well, that backfired. So I went through a massive journey of like this massive high, and then Outback Spiritual Festival where I met you, and then coming down from that high, throwing myself into a juice cleanse because I'm like, right, I know how to fix this, which actually did wonders because it allowed me to just clear out a lot of stuff and come back to my why do I do what I do? Because you can really easily get lost in this whole, you know, in this social game, because social media is so, can be very toxic. And you know, it started to feel like, oh, am I just pushing out? You know, I'm a little entertainment monkey. I'm going to sing with my chime now, and I'm going to sing with the bowl. And I'm like, right, get back to the frequency of why you're doing this. Are you doing it to be liked, or are you doing it to help others? And I had to really sit down with myself and look at, am I, you know, what is my deep core mission here? And you know, through coming back to my practices and practicing what I preach and teach, it was able to really come back home to my why, and that's ultimately to, you know, bring peace into this world, to help people, primarily those who are struggling with mental health issues and, you know, the full spectrum of this human experience, which is wild.
It's wild indeed. It's wild indeed, but it makes me feel so reassured and excited and hopeful about the future of humanity when, there's people like you out there getting on TV, getting in front of everyone, with your healing, and just thinking about like that frequency and how many people got to hear that, and people who would never think to, like a lot of us get on Spotify and we're like, oh, crystal healing bowls, I'm gonna listen to that and do some meditation. Like we're kind of looking out for it and we're aware of it, but for so many people, they've never even heard about that, right? So to be just watching your numbing out nighttime TV, and then there's like a whole sound healing is happening in your lounge room. It's like, that's amazing. Like, it's so amazing.
Yes, and I look forward to making it more and more widely acceptable. And I feel like I've started to open up, a glitch in the matrix, but in a good way, where it's like, oh, real humans on a mission to help people. Oh, this is interesting, and so yeah, I'm really excited to see where this takes me, and I'm just really surrendering and trusting in the process, and just saying yes, but also making sure it's aligned with love and not fear, because there's just so much programming, I think, particularly in the society where we have been programmed to do more, work harder, and we pretty much assess our value based off of how productive we've been or how much work we did. And it's like, actually, I can have a day where I do absolutely nothing and I'm still 100% worthy of everything and more, so yeah, that's been a big one, because I'm all about ticking those boxes, checking those to-do lists, doing the things, and yeah, it's finding that balance where it's heart aligned action, because we can't just sit in a cave, in the mountains and just meditate on who am I and think we're going to change the world doing that, and that's tempting, and I did that for a bit. And ironically, I was miserable the whole time because it was this who am I, me, my purpose. And I was like, oh, I forgot. It's not about me, it's about us. And how can we support each other? What can I do for you? And Marianne Williamson talks a lot about, if you're not feeling well or you're feeling, sad, wake up in the morning and pray for somebody else. Send your energy to others, and even walking around the street, like visualizing beams of light just shooting out of my heart into complete strangers. And I don't know why. Well, I think I know why, but it makes me feel so much better. Because I'm like, oh, I'm helping people, and I'm out of my little, selfish, little pit hole of like, woe is me, and I didn't get any likes on my Instagram post or whatever it is, and just laughing at the whole silliness of it. Because, I mean, we are, what is the quote I recently shared from, was it Joe Rogan? We are talking monkeys spinning on an organic ball in space. Don't take it too seriously. And I think a lot of us do. We take it so seriously. I mean, my mom jokes I came out of the womb like this really serious. I would look like a little Asian baby, black spiky hair, tiny little eyes, and I was like ready for business. And I think I've had that like really serious, like, get shit done. No time for fooling around. That's why when I do fool around, it's like, woohoo, we're gonna have a good old time. It's like middle way, middle path. So and it's a dance, and I haven't been on this planet that long, long enough to have learned some things. I look at the clock, I don't know why that's helping me.
How
but yeah, it's a journey, and it's fun, and it is a dance because the music is constantly changing and we are just responding to it differently. And as long as we can keep some lighthearted play into it, it's really just a joke. Leela, the cosmic joke.
I like, I'm so glad you said that too, because I do feel like in a lot of these circles, we do just get so focused on the inner work, which is so important. I think for many of us, we kind of have to, we have to start there because we've had some experience or going through, like what you went through, the dark night of the soul kind of situation, and we're just like, what am I doing here? What is the point of all of this? So we have to do the inner work, but I do feel like there's a point where we get so focused on the inner work that it just becomes like Yeah, like all about me and my stuff and my Instagram likes and my like, why isn't anyone doing, why isn't anyone responding to this? So I really appreciate that you brought that back into this conversation of just like, the million views on your reels. That's amazing. But really, it's just about being of service, whether you get the a million views or whether you get, 10 people liking it because they resonated with it. It's like, it's all about, helping each other. And like you said, the human experience is tough and we really need to be helping each other. And I think so many of us, so many people who listen to this podcast resonate as light workers or mystics or magical people and or empaths. And we all kind of feel like we're here to help in some way, not just to do the work on ourselves, hiding up in the mountain, although sometimes that's nice. It's
I mean,
okay
yeah,
sometimes.
we definitely need some of those, but we got to come back out into the world and yeah, absolutely.
I have to ask you, I know there's a book coming. I know you're gonna write a book. Have you got an album or have you got like downloads that people can listen to you? Can we where can we hear where can we hear you? How can people work with you? Like, where can we find out more? Where can we watch you on TV?
Well, the book will take some time, so I'll tell you that
I'm
now, but
holding that vision. I can see it. It's
I
coming.
cannot I love it. I need more people to hold that vision, so everyone listening, just see me holding my book smiling. No, I'm kidding. No, actually not kidding. See me holding my book and a massive book tour. Right, so you can download sound healing journeys on my website. They range from breath work, guided meditation. They all involve some form of sound healing because I'm talking and singing in pretty much all of those downloads. These are available on my online shop. You can find at melodiousyogi.com/shop. Also, if that melodious yogi is confusing and hard to remember, aliskiba.com is also a working domain that links to the same thing. And then on my website, you can also book in to work with me online or in person. So I've got a few different offerings. I do breath work and sound healing journeys, one-on-one groups, both in person and online. And I also do vocal activation, one-on-ones, online groups, in person, as well as my mentorship program. So if you are an aspiring sacred space holder or a light worker, looking to get some guidance on really stepping into your soul aligned business, I do offer a one-on-one mentorship online. And and I'm sure there's other offerings I haven't even cooked up yet, but I do workshops in Sydney. I have two retreats coming up next year. One's in Mudgee and the other's in Bali, towards the end of September 2024. So if you'd like to get updates on my events and retreats, you can also subscribe to my newsletter by heading to my website. You can't miss it. There's a really annoying pop-up that won't leave you alone. Good for technology.
I love it. I love it. And I will, of course, for everyone listening, I will, of course, put all of Ali's links in the show notes and in the comments on YouTube as well. So you can just go straight there and you can click and you can find out more about Ali. You can download her beautiful voice and go over to, I'll put her social media there as well. You can go and have a look at the video where she is on The Voice Australia. Just like millions of people are watching that. So you should go and watch it too. Ali, this has been amazing. It's been so nice to connect with you. I just feel like you're such a oh, you're just amazing. I just think you're really amazing. And I'm so glad we connected. And I'm looking forward to
Thank
seeing like
you. You're
everything
so
else
amazing.
that you're gonna do and create and share with the world. And thank you so much for being here today and speaking with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and thank you for your magic. I've been watching your offerings and the beautiful things that you're sharing in the Oracle decks. It's just so lovely. So thank you. Really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Lots and lots of love.
You've been listening to New Age Hipster Radio. For more good vibes and spiritual goodness, head to newagehipster.co. Thanks for listening and peace out.